When you're ready to pop the question, the last thing you want to do is second-guess the ring. At BlueNile.com, you can design a one-of-a-kind ring with the ease and convenience of shopping online. Choose your diamond and setting. When you find the one, you'll get it delivered right to your door. Go to BlueNile.com and use promo code LISTEN to get $50 off your purchase of $500 or more. That's code LISTEN at BlueNile.com for $50 off your purchase. BlueNile.com, code LISTEN.
Oh, I think you're ready for this jelly, ladies and gentlemen. Welcome to the Football Ramble. My name's Marcus and Jim's to my left.
Hello.
Pete's opposite me.
Howdy.
Luke is to my right.
All right.
But not to my right hand. Now, let's begin.
Well, he is.
Yeah, he is.
No, because it's over here.
Jim, if you were David Moore...
Don't ever call me that again in front of the listeners. if you were David Moyes, what would your first day at the club look like? What would your first act, your first address of the players be?
Well, you know, you hear stories about, like, really hard guys that get sent to prison, and the first thing they do is they find the big dog and
kick
the shit out of him.
Oh, I know, all too well.
Because you were in jail for a bit, weren't you? You've been inside. And
that's not true.
So basically, I'd sort of teach Wayne Rooney a lesson by hurting him a lot,
yeah,
and also stamp my authority on the club by just going in really hard, you know, teaching him a lesson, basically.
Yeah. But you devalue one of the crown jewels, one that will presumably sell.
Oh, then sell him.
Okay, all battered and beaten.
He wants to go anyway.
Send him a message.
Exactly. And it's a strange answer, I know.
Does the cliche of trying to beat up the hardest man in prison, would it be too much of a cliche if you actually entered prison and went, yeah, I'll have a go at this, and everyone's going, oh, this is so gauche, this has been done before, hasn't it?
Yeah, did people do that?
Did they look?
I wouldn't do that, I'd just hide.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah.
But Marcus, when you were in, did that happen?
It was an open prison. I never went to prison. Pete?
I would walk into the dressing room where all the players are sort of sat around, and I would show them the full range of boggle-eyedness that I could get out of my eyes. So I'd go full lids open, because you know he's got incredible eyes as Moyes.
Yeah.
And I'd sort of go full open, half mast, closed, and then just say, remember, I'm a younger man than Alex Ferguson. Mm-hmm. So I could probably get him right out on stalks at one point. So yeah, I'd just show them the full range of my eyes.
So you thought I'd answer that as if you were actually David Moyes?
Yes.
Oh, okay.
I thought that's inherent
in the question.
Yeah, but I mean, you don't have to take it so literally. But that's fine, though.
I probably just manage as best as I can, really.
No, but not on the first day.
I probably manage to the fullness of my faculties. That's
Luke,
what I do.
Save it.
I'd probably do... You're not going to lose your job. You're not going to lose your job. You're not going to lose your job. No, I wouldn't really. I'd probably do a ceremonial, get every single possession of Alex Ferguson's I could find and burn it in the middle of the pitch. And then when someone else come out and said, what are you doing? I go, what are you fucking doing?
Yeah, yeah.
Yeah, and I'll stare him down.
Damn right you would.
Yeah, and then that'll be that.
Mm. I think maybe another way to go would be just kind of pretend you were Alex Ferguson, start dressing like him, talking like him, start getting surgery to look like him.
Mm, that freaks
you say
out.
Surgery, you mean wine.
I think I'd bring in some baked flapjacks for the players.
Icebreaker, isn't it?
Yeah, exactly.
I'd shout, you've had whiskey nose, let's have frisky nose, and I'd try and forcibly kiss them all.
Always kissing
with your flapjacks. Would you take them in, sit down and go, well, you can't have any because you've got a game, so I'll trust me, they are very nice.
Or say, as far as I'm concerned, all your medals.
Yeah, exactly.
A strange array of answers. No one's going to get the points this week for that.
Oh.
First time ever.
Because I did the Willie contract.
Maybe the listeners can contribute their own answers. Perhaps
yeah, exactly.
You could bestow points upon them.
Yeah, because that was piss poor. let's quickly go.
Flapjacks, and you're calling that was piss poor.
You haven't actually derided us for our answers in a while. Sometimes you used to say quite a lot. That's poor. Come on.
Well, it's a new regime in my head. Let's go to the FA Cup where the magic was on display
in front of
Luke Moore's eyes. Manchester City 0, Wigan 1. Ben Watson with a lovely glancing header to win the cup
for
Wigsy.
Did you see Dave Whelan claimed he dreamt that they City and win 1-0, but he didn't you know, want to say it beforehand.
Yeah, you wouldn't say that beforehand.
It's almost like he's taking credit by saying he's got some sort of deep relationship with the universe and he's attuned to what's going to happen in the future.
It's Russell Grant-esque, really.
Did he once break his leg in the cup final?
He did. Unfinished business.
Yeah.
There was
Not anymore.
No. Not anymore. It was a fact. Wigan was superb.
I really enjoyed the game.
They were excellent.
I've not seen it again. I've not seen any of the highlights again, but because obviously I don't show replays of the controversial stuff in the stadium itself. Yeah. But when I was leaving the stadium and I checked on Twitter, a lot of people were saying it's quite a boring final. I didn't think it was at all.
I thought it wasn't bad.
Wigan was very, very attacking. I didn't expect that.
Mate, it was great, wasn't it? They came to play, didn't they? Yeah. They didn't shut up or anything.
But it must be so frustrating as a Wigan fan. I think I might have said this last week that, you know, they're right down there. I mean, we'll talk about the relegation stuff in a bit, but they played such great football against Manchester City and went to them. Any other side down there in amongst it with Wigan fighting for survival or even some who have survived would have been battered by City in the final.
I'll tell you, Pulis would have put a second string out probably.
Yeah. Mm.
Do you know what I mean? They took
or
it
forfeited.
Well, not just the fact
put on an extra training session.
Yeah.
No, we're working on throws.
Yeah. Well, not just the fact that they played their best side when they really need to stay in the league. The fact is that they took the game to Manchester City. I don't think any other in any club in the bottom half of the table is capable of doing that.
You know, quite often we see the cup final will be one of the established teams against you know, what you might term an underdog, and it's pretty much always the established team win. And it didn't happen this time. It's brilliant, isn't it?
Yeah, they were excellent. There was a back three to begin with, also with wing backs, which was deployed very well.
Those wide players.
I really like Espinosa.
Yeah, he looked really good. They play so far up the pitch.
Yeah,
and Torre had a really quiet game, and I was wondering whether it was because he didn't fancy it, which is hard to think of given it was a cup final, or if he felt like he needed to give his defence so much extra protection that he just stayed back there.
Well, for all his plaudits, he can be quite an awkward player to fit in sometimes. Is he defensive midfielder? Does he go forward? Do you keep him just there?
But late on, Mancini brought on Rodwell and pushed Yaya Touré further up. Yeah. He didn't really do anything either.
No.
There were a couple of penalty shouts all around. I haven't seen him again, so I don't know how sort of nailed on they were or weren't. But I thought we were going to be a better team. I sat next to a guy who's a Man City fan, and he was saying that, you know, they're first everything. Yeah, they're Clichy was getting his pants pulled down all the time. It really was. Wigan looked like a much better team.
McManaman was excellent.
He was excellent. Yeah, I mean, Everton let him go when he was like 16. How can he have been a poor player at 16 and be so good now?
Well,
it's strange.
Know, people move at different rates, don't
they?
Of course,
but they must be kicking themselves now, man.
Yeah, absolutely. He just looks such a prospect, doesn't he? Luke, you told me about a quite horrendous exchange between two City fans that you saw.
Oh, what was this?
I presume they're both City fans. The protagonist definitely was. Basically,
was it Nolan Liam?
It wasn't. No, it wasn't. I was sat in the City end, and I at the full time whistle, obviously, there were some people who were a bit annoyed, and chiefly, I think, because they expect to win the game. And obviously when Portsmouth played Cardiff in the final, I expected Pompey to win. Had they not won, I'd have been annoyed.
You'd have kicked off.
I had a few shouts of Pellegrini. Oh,
did you?
Yeah.
Wow.
He left sunny Spain to manage in the rain, apparently. Before he's even announced, a bit disrespectful. Yeah. But anyway, there's one guy there, mid-50s or whatever, a bit older, and he was annoyed that City didn't win, clearly. And there was a couple of Man City fans, I presume, because it was the Man City end, who were caught by him, like laughing and joking at the final whistle, probably because they've had a day out. You know, they don't take it that serious. They just thought, well, you know, you might as well laugh. You know, gallows humour, probably.
Yeah.
And this guy took loads of issue with him. I started shouting at him because he was on the sort of slightly the level above, and there's a fence between, like a waist high fence.
Yeah.
He started swinging for him.
Oh my goodness!
He couldn't get near him. They were laughing at him because he's like this older man who's really angry. Yeah. So he started spitting on them.
Oh my goodness!
So he had this bit of pizza. He's spitting food at them.
Why didn't he destroy it?
I don't know. I've no idea.
Was it Gary Cook?
Did you see what Gary Cook was wearing?
You know, I saw that.
Yeah.
Big GC was there.
What was he dressed in? Nice suit jacket.
He was.
He looked as he would say, probably pucker.
Pucker, eh? oh dear. But what a goal from Ben Watson-Pete in the last minute as well.
Yeah, it was a lovely bit of drama.
A pile-on! Yeah. A pile-on, ladies and gentlemen, the FA Cup final!
Yeah. This is the best place for a pile-on.
Oh, yes. Oh, yes. Yeah, no, Wigan were superb, and it's the first time that Dave Whelan's won the FA Cup, so well done.
It's a it's a weird situation for Wigan to be in, really, because they are.
Yeah, it is
know,
a
they
bit.
Could pretty much be resigned to going down.
Has anyone won the FA Cup and been relegated?
No,
the same season before.
No, they haven't.
They've been to the final. Middlesbrough, the final under Robson.
Middlesbrough, two finals, I think that's
League Cup as well. Yeah. I don't think they have anyway. Not to my knowledge.
Yeah, it would be a real shame. But that's. I think that was one of the great things about their performance, Wigan, because Man City could put it all into that final, whereas Wigan have this relegation battle, you know, very uphill task, but they managed to put all their efforts into the FA Cup final, which was, it really is to be admired, because they didn't look as though that they had their mind on other things. Martinez has managed to channel all of their focus onto that game, and they've won, and rightly so.
They've played a good couple of matches the last few weeks, though. You know, they've played
against Swansea.
They still scored a couple of goals. You know what I mean? They still led in that match.
But they beat West Brom before that, didn't they? I thought it was really strange how Mancini didn't start with Milner.
Yeah, I thought that.
He'll run himself into the ground.
Yeah, exactly the sort of player you want against a team like Wigan.
And that flank with Espinosa on it.
Yep.
I don't think they would have had as much trouble with Milner there, because he runs all day.
It's a big old pitch.
It is a big old pitch.
I've played on it, Pete. It's massive.
So have I, mate. I wasn't very good.
A bit unfair on the keeper, Joe Hart started. I say unfair.
Yeah, do you know what the reason behind that was? Because like I say, I was there, so I didn't.
No,
see
they didn't. I think it's because he just wanted his best side out.
Right. That's because he's used Pentilimon the whole time, hasn't he?
He has. Yeah. I mean, I know people say, oh, that's a bit unfair, but well, it's football, it's a cup final. And obviously, there is something to be said about that. But
you know, ultimately, it shows a little bit of respect for our Premier Cup competition, which should be applauded, I think.
Do you think so?
Yes.
Okay.
It's not time for romance when you're lifting trophies, Marcus.
No, no romance at all of the cup.
I really enjoyed the footage, show they had on ESPN. It was in the morning before I left. And it was a roundtable discussion with Mark Hughes, Tony Adams, Frank Leboeuf. And who was the other one? Oh, Pat Jennings. And Frank Leboeuf actually said on it that he ranks his 97 FA Cup win alongside his World Cup winners' medal.
Really?
He said he said they wanted to win, as a Frenchman, he wanted to win the World Cup, so the FA Cup so badly. And the reaction from the fans afterwards and the parade and stuff was equal to him, in his opinion, as winning the World Cup.
Blimey.
And Tony Adams went, I'll swap you, mate. I'll swap you.
He wanted to win the World Cup so much he won the FA Cup.
Yeah.
Well, he won them both.
By accident.
Won them both. Easy peasy. Let's go to obviously the Premier League. We've got to start with.
Should we not have a mention of Mancini losing his job?
Well, no. I was going to say let's go straight to Manchester.
Oh, sorry. Okay.
There's a bit of movement in the positions of power there. Mancini's lost his job, and Alex Ferguson has given in his job. So, yeah. David Moyes is the winner, really.
Yeah.
a very odd competition I've just made up.
Maybe he can manage them both.
is Moyes getting the points this week? Is that why you held them back?
Indeed,
give
he
him
is.
A head start.
That's right.
And he gets a Charity Shield game against Wigan to kick off with. He'd be happy with that.
Yeah. Sir Alex Ferguson has retired. Did this come as a surprise?
Yeah, it did. Like,
do you think?
I'm still.
Well, the week before in his programme news, he said he's sticking around, didn't he?
Yeah, well, he is.
Well, yeah,
in a different capacity.
Yeah,
I just thought he'd go on and on and on. I assumed I'd die before he left that job.
Yeah,
I just can't.
There's still time.
Picture Man United with that. Yeah,
I've got a game left.
And I've got plenty of gigs. So it's a certainty.
Yeah. Very good. Yeah, I think it didn't surprise me, to be perfectly honest, because he's wrestled the title back from City.
I think he would have liked to have done better in the Champions League, I'm sure.
Yeah, but true. I mean, he said that for a long time.
But realistically, looking at that Manchester United side, how far off winning the Champions League are they?
Quite far.
Yeah, they're not going to win it in the next few seasons unless some big signings are made. Yeah.
And
blah, blah,
I wonder
blah.
If the money is there for that, as we've seen with the debt they have foisted upon them. There was a lot of talk as well about Mourinho eventually taking over at United, and how Ferguson and Mourinho have quite a good relationship, and it was seen that was paving the way for it. And I wonder if Moyes, obviously he's a good candidate for it, but he knows how to work on a budget, doesn't he? And obviously it'll be a higher budget, but there still will be some constraints there. So
I think
maybe that's why Mourinho's just not even seemed to get a look in.
Yeah, I was surprised, as Jim sort of touched on, I was surprised that Mourinho was never in the running. I assumed he would have been sound of that. But, I mean, the point around this appointment with Moyes is it's clearly not been, oh, right, Sir Alex Ferguson's handed this notice in, who are we going to get?
No, exactly.
It was clearly planned.
Exactly.
A succession, wasn't it? The same way, in a way that when Villanova took over from Guardiola. Mm-hmm. I mean, there was a lot of talk for about a day, wasn't there? Who's going to replace him? And they just went, oh, it's Villanova.
Yeah, you know, yeah.
And so I think that Ferguson had a big part in appointing him. I think it was planned for a long time. And it does sort of make sense. The only criticism you can level at Moyes is that he's never really managed at the very highest level, but he's never had the chance to do that.
Yeah, well, exactly,
so it's impossible
to
criticise him for that anyway.
He's not won any trophies. I mean, yeah, no.
Well, in the same way that, you know, Alex Ferguson only managed in Scotland and Scotland as well, so it's not as if he was was probably the top of everyone's list.
But Moyes has managed, you know, a few big players. I mean, it's not like he's just been in the Championship or League One or something.
He got Everton nearly to the Champions League.
Exactly.
You know, he's done a lot of. He basically done everything he could with Everton, really.
Yeah, he didn't have the budget, and which is obviously well documented. But Everton, he's brought through younger players, which is of course a part of the fabric at Manchester United doing that. He's managed more experienced players. I mean, he is a good candidate. I mean, not candidate, he's a good man for the job, really. I mean, personally, I'd love to have seen Mourinho just for the lols.
Yeah. I think Mourinho, there's a couple of points on the Mourinho thing. I was just going to say that the comparison between Moyes and Ferguson, I suppose the difference would be that Ferguson won a European trophy at Aberdeen.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
And so had, I suppose, never mind that's how Scotland, as Pete said, but he had at least had more of an idea that he. And also, by the way, he didn't do much for the first couple of the seasons. Ferguson.
No.
So we had time to bed in. I think that's why Ferguson made that point.
To be fair as well, he did break the duopoly in Scotland,
yeah.
Which is, you know, not to be kind of downplayed. Mm.
Did you see that guy who made the big bed sheet back in the day,
yeah.
In Tar, Fergie,
yeah.
Or whatever?
Yeah.
And apparently he made a similar one for this afternoon's match.
Yeah. Right. He said 3 years, and it's the same old excuses. Tara Fergie.
Yeah, Tara,
this time
yeah.
around it was. Thanks for all the blah 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 Tarfa.
Yeah.
But the Mourinho thing I was going to say was two points on that. One is that Mourinho's known for not sticking around too long.
That's right.
Which they would have put you know, off probably. But
it's
the other thing was, if you're Mourinho or you're Guardiola or you're someone at that very top level, would you rather be the man who replaces Ferguson or would you rather be the man who replaces the man who replaces
him? Absolutely, yeah.
And that gives you a lot more time and a lot more flexibility. So
yeah,
I think
It almost seems like the spell's broken now, doesn't it? Like, Man United, it's such a dynasty. Like, it's an incredibly difficult thing to go in and take over from.
But I was just thinking, Man United fans, this is what it's like to support a normal club.
Oh, yeah, exactly. That's it. They're unique like that. They're not like other clubs because they've had probably the best manager of all time for, most of our adult lives.
Did Portsmouth have flags for Harry Redknapp's last day? Did he have to make a sort of a speech on the pitch?
I can't even remember what happened when Redknapp left, actually. I'm not really sure.
It was so quick.
Yeah, I can't remember. Yeah, 1 minute he was gone.
Just in a cab at the airport.
Yeah. Rolling a horse into the sunset. Yeah.
His house flaming.
How notes flying at the back of his bag.
Come on, Ben, I ain't get on the back.
Yeah.
Bags with swag written on them dropping out.
Oh, it was a lovely old day at Old Trafford when they played Swansea. Obviously, 1-2-1. Rio Ferdinand got the winner, but
that was a great fin.
It was brilliant.
But
it was great at the start with everybody with the flags and that big playlist. Did you see the playlist of sort of old baggy Manchester bands and whatnot and a few others? And then at the end, when I was watching it, when Ferguson came out on the pitch and addressed the crowd. To be perfectly honest, there was an ounce of emotion in my heart, you know, because you thought, bloody hell, that's it.
Yeah.
Oh, well, okay, there's one game left, but you thought, my goodness, you know, what?
This is what I mean. I can't quite get my head around it. He's just been there as long as I've known what football is.
But really, it was a great speech as well.
It was off the cuff, wasn't it? I got a little bit emotional. When he was walking in the tunnel, and he seemed to be, I know he stopped for a while to be introduced, but when he was walking up the tunnel, he was sort of walking really slowly, and it made me a little bit like sort of emotional. It was a bit like, he doesn't want to do it, he doesn't want to fucking walk up there. Obviously, he wouldn't want to do it.
Yeah.
I mean, ideally, I imagine he would love to be 50 and to manage for another 20 years, but obviously, it can't happen.
Yeah.
So it was a little bit, I like the way that in his speech he mentioned. He made a real point of saying your job now or our job now is to support the new manager.
Yeah,
so you got,
that was good.
Which is because I think there was there's been a few eyebrows raised about him hanging around at the club.
Yeah,
because I think it's Wilf McGuinness. I think it was who managed after Busby. And he really struggled because I think he felt a bit like when John Major took over from Margaret Thatcher. Do you know what I mean?
It just cast a hell of a shadow, really. Bearing in mind he's, you know, the most successful manager that certainly English football's ever known, I think.
Yeah.
But it just seems a little bit.
I'd love it, mate. I'd love if after David Moyes did his first team talk and they all walked out and Ferguson was just there going, I wouldn't have said that. Oh, but I'm not saying anything.
But I think with Busby though, the difference was Busby clearly hated not managing anymore, and I think he was almost trying to manage through the other guy, wasn't he? Or he was
a bit like the puppet master or something.
Well, yeah. I think he was putting his 2 pence worth in and going, you know.
I figure for Alex Ferguson's horses, they're going to get shouted at.
Yeah. But I think with Ferguson, it is very much, you know, I'll be here for advice and to give you this
transitional period, I suppose.
Exactly.
Yeah. I thought it was. Did you hear the rumours come out? And after stress, obviously they are rumours. I don't know if it's true or not. But it's been alleged that Phil Jones and Wayne Rooney had a fight this week.
Is that really? Right?
And Phil Jones chinned him, apparently. That's a rumour I read on the internet. I don't know if it's true or not.
They usually are.
Yeah. But I mean, yeah, that was another little bit of a subtext, because obviously Rooney didn't play a part today in the final game at Old Trafford.
God, I'd like to have seen that just for the gurning.
I was going to say, did Rooney sort of say to him, why are you looking at me like that? I'm just,
this is just what I look like.
Yeah. If I punch you, you'll look like me.
I mean, he gurns enough playing football. Imagine what he's like when he's fighting.
Oh, it's terrifying. I bet it's terrifying.
My goodness. Paul Scholes has announced his retirement as well. I did find it quite funny when Scholes said, actually, I've done it at a perfect time, you know, with regards to Ferguson and Wayne Rooney handing in a transfer request. Yeah, I've gone under the radar, really.
Yeah, yeah.
As he likes
classic
it.
Scholes. One of the things that really linked to the Ferguson and Mancini thing was obviously Mancini's been undone by underperformance, essentially. Scholes was asked about what makes Ferguson so great for you, and he said, his greatest skill for me is the way he protects his players. Mm-hmm. There's no way anyone will say that about Mancini.
Mancini's really nice, sort of abrasive, isn't he? And it will prickle and
does a lot of stuff in public,
okay. Yeah. It's strange. You get the impression, he was a striker, wasn't he? A very hot-headed player, and he's just carried that over. It's just his temperament.
Yeah, indeed. I mean, Pellegrini's looking like the man. Well, to take over from Mancini if indeed he does get the sack, which we all expect that he will.
I'm surprised that City aren't trying to go for Mourinho, purely because it's just they're that club, aren't they? The money club. Let's get the big guys in.
Without showing any bias against certain clubs, would it bring a smirk to your face if Mourinho went there and Chelsea fans were a bit disappointed?
No, I don't think it would.
Okay.
I think that would make City sort of potentially unstoppable.
Yeah, okay.
I don't know.
On the Scholes thing, he didn't even look like he was happy with Ferguson mentioning him in his speech.
I know.
He sort of like everyone was like laughing. It was almost like everyone was laughing because I know how embarrassed he'll be. I love little stories here coming out about Paul Scholes, like he's not got an agent. And then I remember someone saying a while back, I think it might have been when he retired the first time, or when he wasn't playing, that people were saying, I used to see him like in Morrison's and Oldham pushing the trolley around and stuff.
Yeah.
But he's the most normal bloke ever. Yeah. And he also said that he might be a coach, but he's not sure now because obviously Ferguson's leaving.
That's right.
So the Rooney thing is surely worth a mention, is it not?
Well, Rooney handed a transfer request. Pete, where's he going to end up? You'll know.
Manchester United are trying to basically say that he's not for sale and stuff, just to drive the money up for me.
Yeah.
And they reckon they won't sell it to another English club, cost them as long as they can get the 20. I reckon they'll make 20 million on him
at least.
I read that, like, let's talk of Bayern Munich. There's no way they're going to buy him.
I can see maybe a little bit more likely.
Well, people are saying Bayern because Pep Guardiola obviously likes to play with the false nine, which is a very trendy thing to say nowadays, but he with Messi, Ford, who likes to drop in, Rooney can do that role.
He's been fairly pedestrian for a vast swathes of this season, and he needs a change. I'm not saying he won't do well, but his best years are behind him. Clearly, he started very young, he exploded very young. You just sort of fear, what's his 29th, 30th going to look like?
We see it happen so often now.
So people will take issue with you saying that about Rooney for people. I agree with you. I think, and Ferguson said as well today, or the other day, whenever it was, said, Wayne Rooney's been annoyed because he's been substituted. And if that's fine, but if he was playing at his best, he wouldn't have been substituted.
That's right. Yeah. But he wasn't involved at all.
Yeah.
Do you think Ferguson did
that? Is that not a political move, though?
Well, did Ferguson do that? You're not ruining my day.
It's a clear message to him, isn't it? It's like, enough is enough. I get the quite definitive last laugh.
Yeah.
Yeah, but his whole career, he's had a history of moving on, incredible talents and people who...
That's right,
absolutely. And it's brilliant, isn't it? Even it's basically like his party, that game was. He's still doing that.
Yeah. Do you think he said to David Moyes, what are you worried about? And he went, well, obviously worked with Wayne before. Now he can be, don't worry.
Yeah.
That'll all be dealt with before you get here.
So where can you see him going? Because the rumours, which have obviously just been made up by people writing articles, are PSG, as we've said, and also Chelsea.
Chelsea, I think it was a reasonable shout.
You think?
Yeah. I think they'd take him.
Oh, I think
actually,
they would.
I just think, you know, people just aren't talking about him anymore. He's probably off the FIFA box. I can't remember seeing the thing.
But, you know, he's always assigned.
He wants to be that player again. He wants to be the player that people talk about, the player that
But surely he should go abroad then for a new challenge. I mean, I know you say it should.
He's an Englishman, Marcus. They don't want to do that.
My issue would be that when he handled the transfer request in before a year or two ago, he initially said that he wasn't happy with the sort of players that Man United weren't signing. Mm. You know, the players they weren't getting the players they wanted, and then now obviously United do sign a striker like Van Persie. And he's like, oh, I want to go.
It's probably Paul Stretford in his ear.
Probably is. Yeah. But anyway, we'll see.
You should be getting more Wayne.
For
don't
me,
be
I mean,
satisfied
you.
Wayne.
Don't worry, Wayne.
Look at your amazing life, Wayne. It's not enough.
Yeah. Don't worry, Wayne. You are still the best.
Indeed.
Let's stop to enjoy it, Wayne.
Let me enjoy it.
I reckon Stretford give him his hair. His evil hair. Oh, and it's just God. Kind of like it's grown into his brain and making him do silly things.
Oh dear. Let's talk about Aston Villa 1 Chelsea 2. Frank Lampard became Chelsea's top goal scorer of all time.
I'm really delighted for Frank that he's managed to do that.
It's an amazing achievement. I think he deserves full respect.
Absolutely. And it was
for a midfield player as well.
It was a bit of a concern that it was two games left. Was he going to do it? And he scored one. He thought, "Oh, good, he's equal." And then to get the second was quite glorious.
Yeah. Not bad for a little chubby kid.
And now Benitez doesn't have to play him anymore.
Yeah. Well, absolutely. Yeah, I mean, he wasn't. It's not like he's been at the club all his life.
No,
and he signed
not.
For them in his mid-20s, so it makes it even more of an achievement. According to Adidas, this is the breakdown of how he scored them: 20 with the left foot, 81 with the right, 48 penalties. 16 headers and 38 volleys.
38 volleys. I'm not sure I've even ever connected with 38 volleys.
Doing Kiki up. Yeah, incredible. And of course Chelsea have pretty much confirmed that they'll be playing Champions League football next season.
I mean, he went through that period of scoring more than 20 goals or 20 or more for like 5 or 6 years in a row.
Yeah, I mean, I don't know what he's on this season, but I'm pretty sure that's
he's got like 17 this season.
Yeah, well, I mean, that's pretty much up to now.
Hasn't he scored something like 165 in the Premier League? And Paul Scholes scored 107 and Gerrard's got like 98 or something like that. Like, significantly more than the other kind of leading players in his position.
Brilliant.
Yeah. Lee Bowyer, 57.
That's not bad.
Yeah.
Not a bad return.
I had a good fact today, and it was that in English professional football, across all four divisions, Roberto Mancini is the 9th longest serving manager.
Oh my goodness.
That's mad, isn't it?
That's horrendous.
How long is that then?
Was that including Ferguson or not?
I think it's not including Ferguson and Moyes, because they're gone.
It doesn't matter.
No, it's still terrible. Yeah. Yeah.
Whether he's the 9th or the 11th.
Yeah.
It really doesn't make much difference. So it was a good win for Chelsea.
They did really well, by the way. We should say, battled that back from a goal down, man sent off.
Yes.
I thought, I left the house when it was 1-0 and Ramirez had gone, and I thought, I'll tell you what, they might struggle here, because Villa have been doing okay.
Yeah.
And they did really well to turn it around, so yeah, fair play to them, I say.
And Stylian Petrov's retired.
Yes.
It's also worth pointing out that he's in remission. Yeah, which is obviously brilliant news.
Yeah, absolutely. He was a great player for them.
They've really missed him.
It's a big shame.
I think they're going to keep him in and around the club, are they not?
You'd hope so, wouldn't you? You'd certainly hope so. Elsewhere, Spurs kept up their Champions League hopes with the 2-1 win against Stoke, putting the pressure on Arsenal.
Do you know what? I think probably over the last 6 or 7 weeks I've predicted every single team to fall out of the top four, but I just think Spurs are going to come up a bit short. They're hanging on by their coattails now. They battle back into that draw with Chelsea twice. They battle back against Stoke to win.
Well, they've scored late goals in like the last like 7 or 8 games, I think, though. You know, they've got it in them. They're not giving up.
But they need Arsenal to step up against Wigan, really.
Well, that Arsenal-Wigan game is so important at both ends of the table.
It really is, isn't it?
Last game of the season, Arsenal away at Newcastle, who are safe now, aren't they?
What a win, Pete. 2-1 against the mighty QPR.
That's ridiculous.
Solo extravaganza from the goalkeeper.
Are you mightily relieved?
I think so. But
that
goal
was similar to the Dempsey's for Spurs, by the way. Both on the same day.
Yeah. Good penalty by Ben Arfa as well. In off the bar, you don't see many of those.
I think you just said penalty.
Did I? No, I didn't mean to do that. Oh dear.
Don't worry.
Still, at least we got some more confirmation that QPR really are terrible.
Oh my.
From Harry Redknapp as well. After the game, Harry Redknapp was saying, to be honest, I think a lot of these players have struggled to get the top half of the Championship. They just ain't got the quality. Good one.
You signed four of them.
Man motivator.
Yeah. Nice to see.
Yeah, you signed all of the worst ones recently.
Nice to see Steve Harper getting on the field, because he's leaving at the end of the season.
Is he going to play? Will he play against Arsenal?
Yeah, he will do, yeah. Probably. Just crawls out and swears Elliot.
Oh, Stevie Hart.
Naughty red.
Well, so Newcastle are now safe, because even if Wigan
Because we're going to play Villa, aren't we?
Yeah,
in
okay,
the
cool.
last game of season.
I tell you what, that is a very handy fixture for a few sides down there, because Fulham beaten 3-1 by Liverpool. They are. I mean, I said this last time.
From Daniel Sturridge, didn't they?
Newcastle United a point above Fulham. That's how bad Fulham have been this season. Yeah. And if it wasn't for Wigan playing Aston Villa, you know, they've. Well, if we can get some kind of result against Arsenal, they'd be right in amongst it.
Well, the only way Fulham can go down is if it must be if Wigan win both their games,
yeah,
and Villa get battered, and Fulham don't win, because Fulham's goal difference is better than Villa's.
Yeah, no, yeah, it would take too much. Well, it can't happen, because it would need Wigan to win both their games and then beat Aston Villa, and Fulham's goal difference is better.
I hate end of season
than Aston Villa, so they're fine, but only.
But it's been a terrible season.
It's been a terrible season indeed.
I think they've won two of their last ten.
What about Sturridge? The hat trick. He's been superb, isn't he?
Yeah, I've always hated celebration.
Oh yeah,
just makes him look like a dick.
Yeah, it's a shame.
Oh, you have done a brilliant goal, and now you've ruined it.
Yeah, he does. He even does those celebrations when he scores like the sixth goal.
Yeah,
in a game that's already won or something.
But he might as well be going up to the fans going, yeah, that was easy because I'm so brilliant, you pricks. Yeah. I've got your money. You know you pay to get it. I've got that.
What are you clapping for? I do this all the time.
Yeah. I don't applaud you when you are at McDonald's, dickhead. See you.
Yeah. Actually, you do, Daniel. I've seen you. I've always thought he's a good player. He just needs to play games, really.
He needs the manager to tell him not to do it.
Yeah. Okay.
And you, stop doing that. Okay.
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 Grow up.
Think of the supporters. Okay.
Okay.
Look at my pullover, okay?
Go get the car. I really struggled to say. It's hard in that accent.
Brendan Rodgers' impressions are the toughest ones.
Okay. Do you think he should play for England, Sturridge?
He's got to be in the round.
Yeah, in the middle.
Absolutely.
For Rooney.
We are fucking shit.
Rooney out.
Get him in there.
Get Rooney out.
Yeah. I've kind of forgotten about England.
Yeah.
It's nice, isn't it?
So many matches coming thick and fast.
It's nice to have the summer off of England.
Yeah. Summer off for everybody. Yeah. What else have we got? Norwich scoring 4.
Yeah.
Ooh.
It's a hell of a way to escape relegation, isn't it? Goodness me.
With all due respect to Norwich, I'm calling a bung.
You think
4-0?
Yeah,
they've been terrible.
That's a fair shout.
Grant Hall was having a go in the
Ben Foster had a nightmare, didn't he? Did exactly the same thing as happened in the QPR game and the Spurs game. Just handed it to Grant Hall on a plate, appropriately enough.
The thing with Norwich is, even if you don't count games against Reading and QPR, which you obviously don't because they're terrible, Norwich haven't won for ages, absolutely ages.
Bungle.
Bungarama.
Grant on the press was saying that they were playing too defensively and stuff. You're up front, Grant.
Get up there, Grant.
I watched you, you know, in the flesh against Arsenal, and you just stood around on the halfway line.
Do you want to be in that World Cup 2014 squad or not?
Get on the end of some of those crosses.
Yeah, you better get another country because we're not qualifying.
Sunderland drew 1-1 with Southampton. Sunderland not safe yet.
I'll tell you what,
not safe yet.
It's not relevant now, but if Sunderland won that game, if they'd held out, Southampton would have been right amongst it. Right amongst it.
Well, Sunderland are down there, aren't they? They're the ones. It's really between Wigan, Southampton, and Villa. If Wigan can beat Arsenal, which is an enormous.
Wigan, Sunderland, and Villa, really.
Sunderland, forgive me. If Wigan can beat Arsenal. Which is a big ask.
Jim, get on board with that. Get on board with that.
Wigan, they're a bogey team for us. They've done us in stupid games.
They've got the confidence.
2-0 up against them and they beat us 3-2.
Well, Martinez,
they've done that twice. Am I right in thinking that? I tried to block out the horror of it.
They definitely beat you at the Emirates last season.
Yeah, they're a good team at this stage of the season. We know that about them. They'll be buoyed by the cup final. I don't buy that they'll be tired from it. They're professional athletes. You know, I'm very worried about it.
Didn't Martinez say the only celebratory drinks you can have are the Scottish players are allowed iron brew and that's it?
Yeah. Okay.
Yeah, okay.
That's just confusing.
Yeah, it is. It's strange.
It's making a point about Roberto Martinez and following it up with a Brendan Rodgers impression. What is wrong with that?
Okay. where the hell are we? It could be an enormous fixture, Wigan versus Aston Villa.
Yeah,
but you know, by the time this comes out, people
it will be a shame if it's not.
Yeah, yeah. Says the Arsenal fan.
Yeah,
and we're going to get to you saying you wouldn't mind Wigan beating Arsenal.
That is never going to happen because I would deeply, deeply mind that.
And I'll just make the point that Arsenal, at the time of recording, are currently in fifth position
And top of the form league.
Oh, doesn't matter.
Well, they'd probably take that and they could say, oh no, wait, there was.
Exactly. Don't we start a goal up for that? Like, if you accumulate enough form.
Tell everyone about the form league when you're on that trip to in the Europa League. To
if you fill up your form bar, you can execute a special move.
That'd be weird, wouldn't it, seeing Arsenal in the Europa?
Jim don't want to talk about
it. Yeah, I've thought about this a lot.
Right!
It again, you said Jim don't want to talk about that.
Jim, you sound like
Jim, nobody got time for that.
Europa League.
No time for love, Dr. Jones.
Yeah.
Okay. Right. Let's move on from this rubbish.
Yeah.
Because we're going to the Championship again! Yeah. Hey. That league just doesn't know when to stop being so bloody exciting.
Scenes.
That's what it should just be called. The Scenes League. Yeah. It was Watford against Leicester in the second leg of the semi-final of the playoff.
Champion Scenes.
Leicester had won the first leg 1-0 from a goal from the Nuge.
Yeah, he scored again in this game.
He scored again, but it wasn't enough because Watford went through 3-1, 3-2 on aggregate, and they're in the playoff final.
Well, that doesn't even scrape the surface of the story.
Fluke.
Well, Leicester had a penalty.
Is it 2-2, right?
Yeah, to make it 2-2, yeah. Almunia saved the penalty, which, as Jim said earlier to me, Almunia penalty hero, doesn't sound right.
No.
And then
although,
Watford,
to be fair, he was always good with penalties at Arsenal, so that was a strength of his.
There you go.
Yeah, but Leicester, it was okay if they lost 2-1, because they'd have gone through on away goals, is that right?
Watford. No, because there's no away goals. They would have gone to Ecky time.
Ecky time.
But Watford did a Doncaster, bombed it up the other end of the pitch and scored.
Troy Deeney with a lovely finish.
Yeah, cue absolute pandemonium, including Gianfranco's legging it on the pitch and falling over. And he forgot he had his school shoes on, which is brilliant. It's just amazing. And to think, the great thing about that for a Watford point of view is, and to be fair to Leicester City, they just snuck in there last minute. Yeah. Watford have been a better team.
But both of those teams had been involved in such amazing incidents.
To get in there.
Yeah.
And what Watford have done with that is got some amazing momentum, which they didn't have because they missed out, sadly. But I mean, you know, taking aside the loan signs and all that other nonsense, Watford have been a better team than Leicester this season. Yeah. They deserve to be in the final. We don't know who else was in the final at this time.
No, this it was 0-0, wasn't it? Brighton Palace. So
the first leg, yeah.
We'll see.
We shall see. In the League One playoff final, it'll be Brentford versus Yeovil. It's good for Brentford they got there after the disappointment of the last day, of course.
Absolutely.
So well done to them. In the League Two playoff final, Bradford versus Northampton Town. The beast, Akin Fenwa, in his Northampton boys.
He's on soccer around this week.
Oh, was he?
Getting his eye for the ball.
So. Still on.
Probably so.
So we'll talk about the playoff results next time.
Indeed we will. We're going to go straight abroad.
Can we talk about Van Bommel?
Oh, we can. Quickly to La Liga. Barcelona won the league after Madrid 2-1-0. To be expected, really.
Yeah.
To be expected. Did you see Mourinho's press conference?
No.
When was it? Last Friday? Last Thursday? Something like that? He had a lovely line about Pepe. Because Pepe's been criticising Mourinho.
I thought they were pals.
Well, I think they've both been slagging
each
other.
There was also a rumour last week that there are only three players still even talking to Mourinho.
Yeah.
Brilliant. Just leaving a trail of destruction with
it. That's basically what he's doing, isn't it?
Yeah,
and Pepe's
making it a very difficult
turn
job.
Who do you reckon it is? Chelsea tracksuit.
Who do you reckon it is?
Who
do you reckon the players are?
One of them's Modric. I forget the other two.
Pretending he doesn't speak.
Well, the two young boys he's playing.
Pretending he only speaks Portuguese now.
Essien.
Essien was one of them.
Yeah.
And it'll be whoever else
Carvalho.
He wants to bring to Chelsea.
Carvalho. Modric, Essien, Carvalho. That's who it'll be.
Fancy a payday.
Oh no, Diego Lopez. He can't. He's loving it under Mourinho.
Yeah. Enjoy it while it lasts.
I think. That, let's presume he's going to Chelsea. I'd love it if he signed Diego Lopez. As if just to say to Real Madrid, yeah, see.
So what did Pepe say about it?
Oh, sorry, Pepe...
Pepe's trapping off, isn't he?
Pepe was criticising, saying he shouldn't have been
he
so
should
nasty
show more
to...
respect to Casillas.
To Casillas, yeah. And Mourinho said... He said he responded to something about that, and then he just sort of went, "Well, Pepe, his problem's got a name, Rafael Varane."
Oh yeah, I saw that. Yeah, I did see that. Yeah,
it's excellent, isn't it?
Yeah, yeah.
And then Mourinho basically said, this, "He said I'm considering staying," which would have just made everyone go, "Oh no, he wants a payout."
Yeah.
We thought he was going to go because there's, I think if he was to stay till the summer, the payout. I mean, you're talking like €10 million or something.
Can you imagine him just going quiet over the summer and the first day back of pre-season? It's just. he walks into the Real Madrid training ground. Get to work. What are you doing? Yeah.
So unless they can come to some kind of compromise, he's going to stay. I can't see. Do you think he quit? Do you think? I mean, it really is called
not
the bluff.
Twitter.
The Chelsea job is there.
How long is Mourinho's contract for?
I think he's got another year.
Okay, right.
Well, he's certainly got longer.
So Chelsea are going to have to pay out again.
Mm. Unless
hefty sum,
but I think that's what this press conference was for Mourinho. He was basically saying, I'm not going anywhere unless you pay me.
But I suppose this all comes down to then how stubborn we think Mourinho can be.
Mm-hmm.
Which is very stubborn,
yeah,
obviously.
Yeah, well, and he talks
his position is untenable at best, really.
Yeah. But this is it.
That's his sort of just his sort of perfect temperature, isn't it? Or yeah. Conditions, rather.
But within the club as well, you know. I mean, he has just ruined all the relationships with the players. Mm. And so if he's saying, I'll stay, he knows that the club, they can't have him there.
Yep.
They can't. You know, they wouldn't even finish in the top four, probably.
Shit in me offers and I've sewn prawns into these curtains again.
unless Real Madrid try and pull out some sort of gross misconduct thing and say, right, you're fired. And you're not.
Look at the history on his computer.
Yeah.
Find anything.
Because if I went into the workplace and just purposely fell out of all my workmates and just start chipping up all the time in press conferences that I arranged myself, I'm pretty sure I'd get fired for Christmas conference.
Yeah.
Gouging people's eyes.
Yeah,
it'll be interesting. But Barcelona won the league.
Yeah.
They did.
We were talking about how unpredictable this was in like September. Yeah. La Liga really did play out like that, didn't it? Really? Barca went like 12 points ahead really early on, and it's just been both of them winning every week.
Oh. It's weird how people sort of, I mean, how I feel, and I'm presuming some other people feel the same, that in a way, even though Barcelona have walked the league this season, their season feels really underwhelmed.
It's because of the
Bayern Munich thing.
Yeah.
They feel like, because they got really good, did get battered, and it's almost put a sour taste in the mouth.
Definitely. You know? I mean, all this Mourinho talk, we have to remember that the Copa del Rey final is still to be played against their local rivals, Atletico Madrid. You know, so all this going on, it's still a very important game that they need to pull themselves together to win.
And they won it.
Mourinho just not bothered.
Yeah.
They've won it before recently, haven't they, Madrid? They won it. They beat Barcelona at one point, didn't they?
Yeah, they did.
How come we've never named the show September, as in Sepp Blatter?
Name the shows.
Yeah.
So. You do name them. We're in May.
You think I'd have thought of that, wouldn't you?
Yeah.
Now I know why you didn't contribute to that.
Is that what you were thinking about for the last 5 minutes?
It's since Jim said September. If anyone's listening, they can probably figure out how long that was. Probably about a minute and a half.
Yeah.
I just shut down completely. Never
that
mind.
That is actually quite quick for your turnaround time, I have to say.
It really is.
Normally we've gone.
Yeah. Normally it's a text. Afterwards.
You know when you said that thing?
Yeah, well, I did think this. So I'm going to cut it in. Where are we then? Who do you think would take over from Mourinho from Real Madrid?
Benitez.
It'd be lovely, wouldn't it, if he followed him round? You know, always there to try and
slipstream.
I think it could be Benitez.
Then he could call himself Jose Mourinho 2.
September.
Yeah. He saved you there.
Oh.
Ancelotti. Talk about Ancelotti.
Yeah, it's a strange one, that, isn't it? But
Big Sam.
What?
No, he signed his deal.
Big Sam will be like, yeah, that's fine. But this is going to cost you.
Yeah.
Why would Ancelotti want to leave PSG? He's done well there. You know, won the league. It just seems strange to me.
Real Madrid.
Yeah.
Yeah, I guess so, but after a year.
What about old Ari Redknapp?
The job will still be up next.
Like, Spain's economy would never recover.
One of the few things I would actually like Redknapp to do.
Yeah. You can imagine it.
Yeah.
It'd be amazing.
To be fair, though, he knows how to spend a pretty penny. They like people who spend a pretty penny.
Yeah.
The chairman literally signs the players. It all works.
Yeah. Faultless.
There you go.
Seamless.
Talk about Van Bommel.
Let's go to Holland, shall we? The Netherlands. Van Bommel played his last game as a professional footballer for PSG.
Some of his last games.
And he got sent off.
Yeah, it was an amazing
for an absolutely horrendous challenge as well.
Yeah, I mean, it should have been a straight red.
Yeah.
I think when the referee got the card, he was almost like, come on, it's my last game. He's like,
I
will give you a second booking out of just service to our country. But my goodness, it should be a straight red.
Yeah. The camera then followed him down the tunnel.
You don't see that a lot, do you?
It's brilliant.
A guy
though,
just sort of meets him and helps him down the tunnel.
Because you got that moment of, it captured that moment of Van Bommel going, oh, all right, well, this is it. This is the last time I'll ever play football, and it's been taken away. You don't have that moment of like acceptance, or that moment where it all sinks in. It's just really sudden. It's over. It's done.
Maybe he ran out and then run back in again.
He did cut. I mean, he did. because first when I saw that, I thought, oh, that is typical Van Bobben. I thought it was quite comedy, but as you said, Jim, when he walked down the tunnel, he did sort of cut quite a lonely figure.
Yeah,
seemed a bit sort of tragic, really.
Well, his last game, it might have been at home for PSV. The fans were phenomenal, chanting his name all throughout. I mean, it was like something that you just don't see.
Yeah, because the game he played was against Twente at Twente.
Yeah, it was away. Yeah, it was. I mean, it's worth having a look at that. It really was quite something. Yeah,
didn't quite work.
The fans got him sent off.
Cheeky, oh, thanks, fans.
Cheeky beggars. What else have we got? In France, PSG will have probably won the league.
They play tonight, don't
by
they?
By this time. But Dybeck has been given the option of a 1-year extension to his contract.
Sweet. I actually thought the children of Paris.
I actually thought Zlatan got it right on the money. He said exactly what was correct. You know,
he said, I think he's been very important for us. The club has been changing from a normal club to a top club, and Beckham gives you some kind of confidence.
It's a really interesting point.
Yeah, it is.
It's a status thing, isn't it? Which is, you know, obviously an issue.
And Leonardo said he's a leader in the dressing room, and it's a privilege to have him. Blah blah blah. I love him. Something like that.
Yeah.
Leonardo does love Beckham.
Yeah. What a
handsome
man,
aren't they? Yeah. They've got a lot in common.
Very true. It'd be funny though. Imagine if Rooney and Beckham linked up at PSG. Dear, oh dear, Dybeck. You can't rule him out of any scenario.
You can't.
England again, Jim.
Here we go.
Let's do it.
Actually, you've done really well so far, mate.
I have
loads
been very,
of,
very
loads of managerial opportunities to tap Sven, and you've not done it.
Craigie Bruin for Real Madrid.
There we go. There it is.
That's what
go.
I would say. Right then, before we go to Pete's game, we're going to. This is following on from the other week when we went to Brazil talking about Real Avalanche, and the authorities in Brazil are thinking of renaming the stadium that will host the 2016 Olympic Games. This is because it's currently named the João Havelange Stadium, and one of the Rio de Janeiro's councillors said the name today is linked to fraud investigations and scandals at FIFA. It doesn't make sense for a city which is going to host the World Cup in the Olympic Games to have the name of its stadium with this reference.
So we're
going
to name it the Ricardo Teixeira Stadium.
Why was it ever named? Is he a big?
Well, he's from Brazil, and he was
he was in charge of FIFA from 1974 to 1998,
right.
Something like that, and he did. But take the World Cup to a much bigger stage,
right.
And so on and so forth.
I mean, but does it fill, you know, when you're a kid growing up in
when
Rio,
he was also he was an Olympian as well,
right?
He was king of the acrobats.
I asked the question,
yeah,
and I got the answer.
Thanks,
so fine.
That's
fine.
All right. But yeah, he's a terrible bloke. So and then they finally realised that. So well done, Brazil. Well done. It's
the Romário Stadium. It is.
Well, if Romário has anything to do with it, then quite.
João Havelange is 97.
You're obsessed with the man's age.
He looks older than that, I think.
Oh yeah, he looks.
That's possible.
Do you want the Ramble to outlive João Havelange? Is that what you want?
Careful.
He's just on his 97th birthday on May the 8th.
There you go. Good. And now it's time for Pete's game.
It is time for Pete's game. All of my own creation this week. Thank you very much. Finishing this season strongly. Oh, what is that? What somebody said? Thank you very much. Right, press silence, please, for the Kryptonia Boa Factor.
Wow.
Thank you.
Oh, I can always tell you don't need to announce when they're your own, because you can always tell when they're yours.
My middle name is Sean. I was born in 1967.
Stop. Oh, the Summer of Love.
Is it?
Oh, yeah.
Oh.
Is it Sean Wright Phillips?
No. It's
born in 67.
Yeah, he's
I'm surprised at how old Sean Wright Phillips is. I thought he might be old.
44.
I'll go for Sean Gota.
There is a club link though. No, not Sean Gota. Nice to hear his name though. As always.
Thank you, Sean.
Started my career at Spurs, but didn't actually play a game. Only in their youth setup. I earned one cap for Jamaica.
Stop. Robbie Earl?
No.
No, he played loads of times, didn't he? Of course he did.
Stop. Is it Fitzroy Simpson?
No. Again, lovely to hear his name.
Yeah.
I played 295 times for a team in hoops. I was joint caretaker manager with Ian Hendon at Barnet FC, very briefly.
Oh, this is a tough one, isn't it?
I now train a Sunday league team called Colebrook Royals.
Stop. Marcus Gale?
No.
You play a bit more.
I reckon that Les Ferdinand is up there when it comes to well endowed men.
That's just sorry. Your opinion.
No, he's a QPR player.
Right.
I can only give you one clue off the top of my head.
Go on.
I play central defence.
It must be QPR. Les Ferdinand played in Hoops.
Oh, we don't know.
Sean White Phillips, Link, apparently.
We don't know, Pete.
It's Danny Willy Watcher Maddox.
Danny Maddox!
Wow, Danny Maddox.
I didn't know he played for Jamaica. Well done to him.
Yeah. He played in a qualifier for
Iran. He was an international class footballer.
He was born in Hounslow.
Ah, okay, right.
So, like, your mum or dad was. Jamaican.
There we go. Let's have some correspondence, Danny.
Yes, let's have some correspondence, shall we?
Yes.
This week's question of the week across the Twitter and the Facebook was, how will you be personally observing Sir Alex Ferguson's retirement next week? So maybe you guys can have a little think and pop up in a minute. Benjamin List on the Facebook says, chewing gum in a big coat and complaining.
Yeah.
It's what he would have wanted. Benjamin James says, by spending all day Tuesday pointing at my watch and celebrating with a camp old man jig. Joe Lynch says, blocking any Twitter journalist that I don't like.
Reasonable.
Brian McNichols on Twitter, mind games, lots of fucking mind games. I'm refusing to talk to the BBC.
I like that,
says Tom McLaughlin.
Good, well done, Tomo.
Yeah. Chris Knowles on the Twitter says, I'm thinking I'm going to wax lyrical about the size of Dion Dublin's penis.
That's the correct answer.
Pete, have we got a prize for Chris Knowles? No? Nothing, no, sorry mate.
It's a paper mache of Dion Dublin's knob
wanger.
I think he's already got one of them. I'll finish this off with Mitchell Sterling on the Twitter, who says, I'm going to break the speed limit and say I was going to shit myself. Have we denigrated the great man's legacy enough?
Shall we cut the profile?
Okay.
Dion Dublin's penis, is it? The profile?
One fit through the door, Luke. Yeah. One fit through the door.
Dion Dublin's in the Hall of Fame very early. Very early. One of the first ones.
Okay.
Did we induct him with Dean Windass?
Yeah, for some reason.
Why on earth did we do that?
That was before it was called the Dean Windass Hall of Fame.
Okay.
I'm sick of that. Right, get on with it.
Well, what are our answers? What are we doing for Fergie?
Jump the shark already with that.
What is it, Fergie's retirement? What are you doing, Jim?
I'm just going to carry on as normal.
Yeah. I'm going to get.
It has no effect on my life.
I'm going to get someone to throw some pizza at me.
What I think would be a nice touch is if they made every Premier League manager dress as Ferguson for the last of the season.
That would be
and
fitting.
Hide behind a red brick wall.
Yeah.
Because he never
sit
really
behind
took
one.
His,
yeah.
What an odd noise.
Oh, right.
And another one.
Okay.
It's profile time. And this week, well, who else? It's Craigie Brooks. No, lovely.
Boom.
It's the best man to have ever managed in Manchester. It's Alexander Chapman Ferguson. Alexander Chapman Ferguson, of course. We couldn't do anything else, could we?
No.
Good enough for a Knight of the Realm.
Our hands were tied.
Our hands are always tied, because that's the regime Pete likes to
implement.
Thank you for finishing that. Gordon Bennett. He was born on the 31st of December 1941.
26 years before the Summer of Love.
He was in his peak during that summer.
Yeah, I'd say he was. Playing for Dunfermline then.
Playing for Dunfermline. And Rangers as well. He went.
Actually had a very good scoring record.
He did, yeah. I mean, but, you know, one of the greatest football managers of all time, and possibly the greatest in the modern era. A lad from Govan in Glasgow. You're right, Jim. His playing career is often overlooked for obvious reasons, because his managerial career was so blooming marvellous. But he played for a number of Scottish teams, Queen's Park, St Johnston, Dunfermline, Rangers, Falkirk and Ayr United, and scored goals wherever he went.
His goalscoring record at Dunfermline was particularly good.
Yes, 60 in the league, 66 in 89. And the 65-66 season, he finished joint top scorer in the league with 31 goals. He was a goal scorer, and his style of play was quite elbowy.
I'd say combative.
All elbows. Apparently he used to run a pub called Fergie's, which had I think the bar was called the Elbow Room or something.
Oh, was
like
it?
That. Yeah.
I know he managed a pub when he was manager of St Mirren.
Was it St Mirren?
Yeah.
It was in the early days of
I don't think it was called. I thought it was called Shaw's.
Manchester United?
No. Yeah, that came a bit later, yeah. But I think it was when he was at St Mirren. I think it was a particularly rough pub.
It would have been.
In his autobiography, he talks about it getting into fights and all sorts. Yeah. Like glass smashing everywhere and stuff.
He finished playing at the age of 32 and soon got into management with East Stirling, which was on a part-time basis, but he soon began stamping his authority on the team. I got a reputation for being a disciplinarian quite early on, and one of the East Stirling players, Bobby McCulley, said of Ferguson, "I've never been more afraid of anyone before." Ferguson, he was a right frightening bastard from the start.
Wow.
Only 32 is what.
Yeah, that's I can't even comprehend that.
No, don't, Jim, don't.
I'm frightened of it.
He wasn't there for long before he joined St Mirren, which is where the young Ferguson would be for the next 4 years. And when he took over, they were down the bottom of Scotland's third tier in the second division, and Ferguson got them promoted to the top flight after obviously two promotions. They won the old first division.
When he took over, they were a really, really young team, weren't they, as well? I remember him saying he was particularly proud of that team and what they achieved because they were so young.
Yeah, I mean, the incredible thing about Ferguson is that he really has turned round teams wherever he's gone. I mean, okay, East Stirling, it wasn't quite, but that was his first one. Mm. Whereas even at St Mirren, when he was in his early 30s, you could see what a class act he was turning out to be. Mm. There's a lovely story from his St Mirren days. It was a pre-season match in Guyana for some reason. St Mirren were playing, and they were getting some rough treatment from the opposition, and the ref wasn't doing much about it. And I think this was quite early on in Ferguson's tenure there. And the front man, Bobby Torrance, was getting some particularly bruising attention. And Ferguson was a bit concerned. And Ferguson is really the master of bringing teams together. Mm. And really saying, right, you know, I'm going to look after you, but as long as you perform for me, kind of thing. Mm. And I think this is one of his real early acts of that. He saw that they were getting rough treatment and they were not having a good time. So at half-time, Ferguson brought himself on. And he basically said, enough's enough. And in his autobiography, he wrote of the incident, said, "In the first contest for a cross, I exacted a bit of revenge on the centre-half, whose squeals caused the referee to point at me ominously. The confrontation became fierce until I nailed Torrance's abuser perfectly. As he rolled about like a dying man, the referee sent me off."
My God.
So I'm glad he used the word like there.
Yeah. But it's, imagine that though. Like, if you were a young forward and you're getting abuse and your manager basically going, "Leave him to me, son," and he nails him, it's a pre-season friendly.
Yeah.
You'd think, man, he's really looking out for us.
Or and he's a psychopath.
Well, but a lot of the players said that really bonded them. They thought, my goodness, this guy really
wants to win.
Well, he really wants to win, but it wasn't so much that. It was, this guy's really, he gives a damn about us and gives a damn about the team, you know. It's quite a sensational act, really.
They would be loving that, wouldn't they? I mean,
yeah.
You know, imagine how you'd feel if your boss stuck up for you in that way.
Exactly.
At that level.
Exactly.
Could they go into the trenches for you?
He ended up being sacked by St Mirren due to a breach of contract. And there's some sort of grey bits and pieces flying around that time, but
which we'll probably leave there.
Well, there was,
even though it happened ages ago.
Well, it was sort of alleged that he'd kind of agreed to join Aberdeen before leaving St Mirren, blah blah blah. But as I say, the St Mirren, the official line is they sacked him due to a breach of contract, which is strange to think of Ferguson getting sacked from somewhere.
Yeah.
But he went to Aberdeen at the time. Aberdeen were a big side. But, you know, even back then, Scottish football was dominated by Rangers and Celtic. But this was where Ferguson took it to another level, where everyone thought, hang on a minute, this guy knows what he's doing. Aberdeen hadn't won a trophy for 20-odd years. And in the 79-80 season, Aberdeen became the first team other than Rangers or Celtic to win the Scottish League for 15 years. Mm. As you said earlier, Jim, he broke up that duopoly. Mm. Which is incredible, as anybody knows anything about Scottish football will testify to.
They started to become known as a new firm, didn't they, them and another team?
Yeah. He won 3 league titles in total at Aberdeen, which is crazy. I just thought he won the one. Or just win 3 in you know, the years he was there. 4 Scottish Cups, 1 League Cup, a Cup Winners' Cup, famously beating Real Madrid in the final. And they even won the Super Cup as well.
Dominated with Aberdeen.
Yeah, it's incredible.
The Cup Winners' Cup team, obviously McLeish and Miller, centre backs, were brilliant. They're basically the reason that Alan Hansen didn't have hardly as many Scottish caps as you'd think. Obviously, Wee Gordy was in there as a young man, Gordon Strachan. Brian Gunn on the bench.
Is that right?
Yeah.
Flipping heck.
All sorts.
After the cup final win against Rangers in 1983, Ferguson really let his players have it. They'd won the Cup Winners' Cup and then they won the Scottish Cup. And they were celebrating after a cup double. And Eric Black, who scored the winning goal that day, said, "We were celebrating in the dressing room when the door was flung open. He was going mad and said those levels were unacceptable. Without a doubt, there was fear in the Aberdeen players." He said that was what he wanted to instill. You either climbed the peaks with him or you disappeared. It was a constant test and a constant demand.
And that Real Madrid team, obviously managed by De Stefano as well.
But isn't that incredible? They've just won the Scottish Cup.
That's what he's all about. Yeah. Didn't you say Gary Neville was like that?
Yeah, Gary Neville was
that. Basically took such a lead from Ferguson that he became like that, didn't he, Gary
Neville? Yeah, he did. Everywhere in the dressing room, you know, they'd say, you know, England after beating Germany 5-1. Wasn't it most famously
after each leg of the treble they won?
The FA Cup final, when they beat Newcastle United 2-0. They were celebrating. He was like, "Oi, don't celebrate, we've still got work to do."
Yeah.
And obviously he got that from Ferguson. He was awarded an OBE when he was at Aberdeen, was Fergie. And was also on the coaching staff of Scotland under the great Jock Steen. Steen infamously died right after World Cup qualifier, collapsing on the touchline, and died in hospital a short time later, which was obviously a shockingly bad time for Ferguson and Scottish football in general. And Ferguson took charge of the national team, got them to the finals in Mexico, but couldn't get past the first round. To be fair, they were in a group with the excellent Danish side and West Germany and Uruguay.
Hadn't he been part of the coaching setup?
He had been, yeah. And
in his autobiography, he uses quite a lot of that time to have a go. Alan Hansen,
does he?
Yeah.
What's he saying?
Well, he says that Hansen didn't like playing for Scotland, only liked playing for Liverpool. Yeah. And Hansen used to check himself out of like squads apparently to go back to Liverpool and say and to get treatment. And he refused to be like assessed or treated by the Scottish doctors because he always wanted to be in Liverpool.
Well, you get the impression sometimes when Hansen's on the Match of the Day sofa and they're talking about Ferguson, there is a little bit of something there, isn't there?
Oh, yeah.
It's nice to see the shoe on the other foot as well with Fergie. Yeah, he's always complaining about national football.
Yeah, that's right. He should not have
national football.
Because at the time he managed the Scottish team, he was also Aberdeen manager, wasn't he?
Yeah.
So he had to get Big Archie in, didn't he?
Mm. He did.
He got Big Archie in.
And it wouldn't be the first time. It wouldn't be the first time.
You mean the last time?
Sorry, yeah. That's what I meant. It would be the first time. Sorry. Yeah. After the World Cup, he was offered many positions at various clubs. But of course, he would go to Manchester United, the team that hadn't won the top flight championship in England since 1967. Ferguson took charge in November 1986. And it would be his fourth season at the club that Ferguson would win his first trophy for Manchester United. At the time when he took over in the 80s, there was a big drinking culture at the club, the likes of Norman Whiteside and Paul McGrath being
those two
at the centre of it.
Those two were so bad that people were ringing from the pubs, going home or using the pub phone to ring the club and say, "Can we speak to Alex Ferguson? These two are in here, they're a nightmare." They also once gave an interview on telly drunk.
And Can you imagine that now?
I think at that point Ferguson took him into his office and said, "Look, you've got to go."
Well, Ferguson appointed Archie Knox as his assistant. Consider it done.
Yeah.
But that's like Rio Ferdinand being hammered on TV. Like, it's just unfathomable now.
During the season.
Yeah.
Yeah. Apparently at one point, like McGrath, I mean, we've talked about McGrath on the show before.
Well, we inducted him.
Ferguson says at like length about McGrath saying how disappointing he was. Yeah, but he said at one point, like, McGrath was training, he just couldn't even run. He was just drunk.
So that's a shame, because McGrath was such a great player. Yeah.
Well, at least McGrath went on to have a few good years at Miller and Ireland. You know, his Whiteside retired from injury, didn't he? So he didn't even really get a chance to fill his potential anyway.
Yeah, that's right.
Like, McGrath was doing stuff like putting themselves out of squads and stuff, saying he was unfit. You know, and when he wasn't really.
And Fergie's first season at Manchester United.
The reason I was wanting to mention that story is just to give you an idea of the scale of the job that Ferguson had on his hands when he took over. Because there was Brian Robson was bad as well.
Yeah, he managed to sort Robson out.
Yeah,
but what I was going to say is, in his first season at the club, they finished 11th. And with the drinking culture that was going on, they had some decent players, but 11th finish, it wasn't too inspiring. His second season, they finished second. They improved it drastically. But then his third season, they dropped back down to 11th. And the fourth season, they finished 13th. Now, in this day and age, as it's well said and well documented, that he would have never been given the time. And after the sort of second to 11th and then 13th, they would have probably parted ways with him. But it was during these seasons he started to build his side, and bringing the likes of Steve Bruce and Brian McClay would be with him for many years. Another nice little one, pre-season story, was a match in the late 80s. Manchester United took to the field against Somerset County Cricket Club for some reason. And Ferguson and Big Archie Knox came on.
Wow.
Yeah, Big Archie scored, apparently. It's the only time Alex Ferguson actually played for Manchester United in some way.
Yeah.
Now, The 89-90 season, there was big talk of Ferguson being sacked if results were to continue to be poor. And the team hadn't been performing for a while. He'd been there a few years without much success. And it all went down to that game, didn't it, in the third round of the FA Cup when they were away to Nottingham Forest. Had they have lost that, there was big talk that he would have been sacked. A famous Mark Robins goal won the match and United marched on. People say that it's the most important goal of Alex Ferguson, Alex Ferguson's career.
I mean, people at the club have said, "Oh, that's not the case. His job wasn't in."
Well, Jim, I met Mark Robins, and I said to him, "I hear you scored the most important goal of Alex Ferguson's career." And he said, "Yep, apparently that's true." So I can confirm on the show that that is.
Why would he lie?
Exactly. So
there's absolutely no reason to lie.
Yeah, they won the FA Cup that year, and the Ferguson stayed.
The zero trophy winning Mark Robins.
That's right. The following season they finished sixth, but won the Cup Winners' Cup with Mark Hughes scoring in the final. Now we get into the 90s, and this is where United really started to come together. They finished second when Leeds won the league, and then of course 92-93 season was the first of the Premiership years, and Manchester United won their first of their many titles under Ferguson. Eric Cantona had been brought in, Andra Kanchelskis was there, younger players, Lee Sharp, and then Giggs was just coming in as well, and it was just a new look United. It really was, and they were so exciting. This really began that glorious period in Manchester when they're one of the biggest clubs in the world now, but they were still building then. Mm. Even in the sort of early mid 90s, they were an enormous club, but they weren't a European heavyweight.
Didn't they only go up for Cantona because they couldn't sign David Hurst and Alan Shearer?
I think he was in for Hurst, but didn't get him.
Yeah.
But this was when stories with younger players like Giggs and Sharp were coming out, and Ferguson was like a father figure to many at that club. The story of Ferguson was at a dinner party in his tux or something like that, and he gets wind that Lee Sharp and Ryan Giggs are having a house party.
And it's
the night before the game. And so he leaves the dinner party, turns up, and just gets everybody out the house.
In that day and age, how on earth did he know that?
He would have had people tipping him off.
I know, but who are these people? We must have such a comprehensive network to know what his plans are up to like that.
His autobiography is basically full of that sort of stuff.
He probably smelled Lee Sharp's barbecue.
An old joke.
His aftershave. One of those tin-filing.
He maintains in his autobiography that he was friends with all the bouncers, all the nightclubs.
Yeah.
He had scouts everywhere. He literally knew just about everyone in the whole area. You know, he was so switched on to all that stuff. Mm. But you're right, though. But in an era before mobile phones and stuff, it's pretty impressive, and they wouldn't have expected to rock up.
Oh no, that is so far above and beyond the Call of Duty.
How terrified!
How terrified! You would think he was supernatural after a little while.
He wouldn't have even needed to have said anything.
No,
Giggs and Sharp would have just gone, "Everybody out now."
In my head, that could be remade into House Party 3, and Giggs and Sharp could play Kid and Play, and Alex Ferguson could play Kid's dad.
I think, as you say, Marcus, you just kick everyone out of the house and just start doing laps around the garden to punish yourself.
Yeah.
Oh, indeed. It's just absolutely incredible. So they were growing in the 90s, very much so. 93-94 saw the first League and Cup double that Ferguson won for United.
And then Keno.
And then he brought in a 22-year-old Roy Keane. Mm. But again, one of the great achievements of Alex Ferguson that many people have said is the fact that he would suddenly change the squad from 1 year, and he sold famously Kanchelskis, Ince and Hughes, three of their big players, and brought in the youngsters of Beckham, Neville, Button, Scholes. We didn't know who they were, and the first day of the season they get beaten 3-1 away to Villa, and everyone's going, "What the hell is going on?" And of course they end up winning.
Was that 95-96?
95-96, and that's when he mixed 95-96, Peter.
Yeah.
But 93-94 they bossed that season. They did.
But 95-96. But exactly. So then, Blackburn win the league, and then he, rejuvenates the squad almost and gets out some of the good players. This is the thing. It wasn't like, oh, they were old.
But in their peak as well.
Yeah, he wasn't afraid to do that. And he put in young players who nobody'd heard of, which is an incredibly ballsy move.
I can't think of that happening in any other time, really.
No, that's
not at that scale, at least.
That's got to go down as his biggest achievement. The biggest achievement being where he just builds team after team.
Exactly.
He knows there's a life cycle of a team. Uh-huh. He knows almost intuitively when to break it up and start another one again.
But that's,
and he does it over and over again.
But so many managers would try and patch up a team.
Mm. Yeah.
He doesn't.
There's my spine. I've got that. You know, I've got that in the bank. It doesn't always work.
But also, he's also done that without really, by anyone else's stands, any sort of transitional season. They've never finished lower than third in the Premier League. Yeah. So he's always competed.
Mm. When they, you know, when they won the League Cup and that was all they won, it felt like a consolation prize because for a team of that stature, winning that trophy almost doesn't count as winning a trophy. That's incredible.
During the 90s, he also started his feud with Arsene Wenger.
Yep.
Which was quite a good fun. I did love it when, because Ferguson was, he became, you know, Mr. Premiership or Mr. Premier League, didn't he? Mm. And Wenger came along and was obviously great for Arsenal and would sometimes criticise a few things here and there. Wasn't afraid to speak his mind in those early days. Well, to a lesser extent now. And I think he was criticising the league or saying there should be this implemented in English football, something like that. And they asked Ferguson. Ferguson, I'll never forget. He said about Wenger, he said, well, he's come from Japan. He should keep his mouth shut. Firmly shut. That's what he said. Yeah, yeah. Yeah. The disrespect in his voice.
I think Wenger's got his respect now, though, hasn't he?
Oh, yeah.
But I think they've softened towards each other as Arsenal are less of a threat.
Yeah.
But also, I mean, as they've got older, because, you know, you look back at some of the things Ferguson used to say, he very much has softened in, like, the past five years or so.
Yeah. He's still an infuriating bastard, even to the end of if you're playing against him.
That is so true, but it was so much more the case, like, back in the day. I thought, like, Ferguson used to really, really wind me up, and I thought that's me just being sort of young and immature. And then I was looking back at some of the things he's done and the quotes that he's come out with. It's like, no, he knows exactly what he's doing. Yeah. he doesn't know who I am, and he's succeeded in mind games.
Yeah. we'll never forgive him for Keegan.
when he wound up Keegan the season before.
He wasn't just having to go at Keegan, he was having to go at Stuart Pearce as well, and calling into question his professionalism.
Yeah, so everyone remembers that, don't they?
Stuart Pearce is on the telly. Yeah.
Anyway, throughout the 90s,
I'm not sure we've dwelt on that long enough.
What's that?
Keegan.
I think we have.
That's where the downward spiral started. No, the downward spiral started when he got punched in the charity shield. Was it the charity shield?
It was a lay-by.
Yeah.
There we go. Anyway,
that was with a baseball bat.
Oh, sorry. But back to Ferguson. He was building United, obviously. They were the best team in England, but they weren't the best team in Europe. They weren't even a force in Europe to begin with. Obviously, England was still had a bit of a hangover from the 5-year ban after the Heysel Stadium disaster,
and the drinking culture,
and so
just not being that good.
Yeah, well,
now we were right, 96, not Euro 96, and all that. We weren't too bad.
We weren't too bad, but club football, there wasn't too much to write home about apart from Arsenal's Cup Winners' Cup win, Jim. And some other good performances, but United, they weren't at the level that they wanted to be in Europe, in the Champions League. And I mean, they would. I just remember them going to the Nou Camp and being beaten 4-0. These kind of things. They weren't a force. But Ferguson turned that around, and they got better and better, and they started getting to the quarterfinals and their semifinals. And then, of course, in 1999, the treble happened. And
in fact,
what
they
a season!
They were such a force at that time that even when they went. They went 1-0 down in like the 6th minute, didn't they, against Bayern?
Against Bayern in the final.
I just knew they were going to win. The whole way through, I knew they would win. Well, it's just the way they pulled it out.
As Clive Tilsley said, you know, United, they'd score. They always score. Yeah. That was the thing he said right at the death.
Bayern were the better team. They're a better team for most of the game.
Yeah.
Possibly. Yeah, and that's why it was such a. I thought they're a better team anyway. And that's why you see this. I mean, it's obviously difficult to take for a Bayern Munich player anyway, but you see the emotion, like the Matthias, you know, and Sammy Kafur and stuff. It was crazy.
But that United side,
Sammy Kafur is still on that pitch.
Oh, he's punching it. Yeah.
But that United side, you know, that midfield, Scholes. I know Scholes and Keane didn't play, but they were the main two in the middle for that treble-winning season.
Well, the big performance was in Turin against Juventus in the semi, the away leg. Yeah. Where they were just
they refused to lose.
And Keane,
they refused to not win.
Yeah.
Well, Keane just lost it. He knew he was going to miss the final. He just drove them on. You know, that was the standout performance of that campaign for me.
Well, and it was, you know, Giggs, Beckham, Scholes and Keane. I mean, he signed Keane when he was young, but the three players that he'd brought through there, I mean, just absolutely magnificent. And he set up a lovely couple of strike partnerships as well, Cole and York and Shearer, Sheringham and Solskjaer.
He's always had good strikers.
Yeah. He likes having four top strikers, doesn't he? That's his real archetype of the great a hallmark of the great teams he's had. There's always four quality strikers, or forward players at least. Like when he had sort of Ronaldo and Tevez and Rooney and
he's always
whatnot together.
I think it's an important point, because I think that if you look back through his successful time at United, they've never struggled for strikers or goals. No. They've always scored goals.
And scored goals everywhere.
And he's built the infrastructure, and he's built a team and a success route and a success kind of... he's got won so many medals that really top strikers don't mind really sitting on the bench for the odd game, what I mean? And he
apart
kind of has that respect, apart from Wayne Rooney. But again, he's English.
That's the mad thing with the Rooney thing, isn't it? It's like you can't really be the top dog at a club like United.
No.
They're too big. Well, you can't just have one standout player. The standard's too high.
He made the club... I mean, they've had such big names, but he's made that club bigger than any player.
Mm. Yeah.
That ethos that's there.
Which is what's interesting about it now. Will they go back to being like a normal club now?
Well, I think, again, with David Moyes being in charge, I think it's a good appointment. I think he very much breathes
that
as well. You get the impression they're both sort of left wing boys from Glasgow.
Yeah.
They're not going to stand for any big time Charlies coming in. And that was perhaps one of the reasons why he got rid of Paul Ince, when maybe you could argue he got rid of Beckham, Ruud van Nistelrooy, And again, he's not afraid to make those calls.
If he's not afraid to kick a boot at somebody.
Someone's head. Well, we go into the noughties, and there was talk of him retiring. It's crazy, isn't it? Yeah. It was 10 years ago, whatever it was.
United really undermined their campaign, didn't it?
Well, United, they kept winning leagues, but they had to wait a little bit longer for another Champions League. But again, he decided to break up that great side. And it was Sol Yapstam, and then obviously Beckham, and one or two others. And he wasn't afraid of shaking up the team and bringing in some new signings. And then the team that won the Champions League a few years on from that in 2008 was, Ferguson thought, his best side. Ronaldo, Rooney and Tevez leading the attack. And, one of Ferguson's best points is that he evolves. Tactically evolves. He moves with the time. He is, in one sense, he's an old school manager. He likes to be in charge of a lot of things and delegate a lot of stuff, but he likes to oversee everything from probably from how the receptionist greets you as you walk into the club, to how the youth policy is, to who's coming in and who's the starting 11 on the day.
Their style of play doesn't seem to change that drastically, though, does it?
No,
it's
doesn't.
It's just always attacking. It's always clinical.
Yeah.
Those are the basic fundamentals of it. And he's adapted it in such a way so often that you don't notice the transitions happening.
And the amount of times you hear the old adage that, Manchester United, one of those teams that they're not playing very well, but they'll still win.
Exactly.
And that's not said about many teams in the last 10 years.
They win when they're playing badly. And that's such a great nod to Ferguson's attitude that he's instilled.
Well, because if you can win a cup and still get the hairdryer treatment afterwards, then you're going to have that instilled in you, aren't you?
That's right. I mean, and also, you look at that side with Rooney, Ronaldo and Tevez leading the attack, a very different team to the ones in the 90s. He moved with the times. He wasn't... retaining his old-fashioned sort of disciplinarian attitude, but he wasn't just a 4-4-2 man. How many managers do we see that when they're younger they were a lot better, and when they get a little bit older, the same could be said for maybe like Brian Clough. In his latter years he wasn't quite the same. They tend to kind of cling on to previous generations and previous generational tactical formations and attitudes, and don't move with the times. I mean, Ferguson, he was managing in the 70s, for crying out loud, and then now he's dealing with dealing with player agents, with sponsorship deals, with all this kind of malarkey.
24-hour media,
exactly.
Sort of stuff.
But he dealt with it like no other manager ever has done.
2008 was the highlight of his career.
Yeah, winning
when he got beat at the quarterfinal of the UEFA Cup against Portsmouth.
That's
what I remember him for.
Yeah. Okay. Well, thanks for coming, Luke.
At Old Trafford.
See you next time.
Right, I let myself out.
can we talk about his son now?
But imagine if he unveiled Darren Ferguson as his successor.
Oh, that would be brilliant. of course, they won the Champions League in 2008.
With a John Terry missed pen.
Yeah.
Just how everyone would like to win it.
That wasn't the side.
Even if he's not involved, you have him on as a guest penalty taker.
Yeah. Mm. Right, you know what to do, JT.
Two more Champions League finals were reached, but they were beaten by possibly the greatest team in the modern era.
Yeah.
So we'll let him off. That's very kind of us.
I mean, that's the thing Ferguson's often said, isn't it, that he feels he should have won more in Europe. But it's so difficult to win that competition. Yeah. We see that every season.
But
so
every year they were challenging.
Well, I think that's what makes Ferguson the greatest British manager of all time and puts him above Paisley. Is that yes, Paisley won three European Cups. But if you look at the nature of the competition then and now, there are a few things which make the European Cup hard to win back in those days. Mm. The sort of lack of knowledge about other teams, different facilities mm-hmm. when you go away, difficult travel, that sort of stuff. Mm. But generally, the Champions League is much more competitive.
Yeah.
And so, given he's got his 13 titles and two European Cups, for me, I think Paisley won 13 trophies in 9 years, 13 major trophies in 9 years, which is obviously amazing. But for me, that's why Ferguson gets it pipped, despite him winning only two. It's so difficult to win. It's so competitive.
And they were in two finals as well. That, you know, that counts for something.
Could have gone on. Yeah, they probably weren't in.
Well, also, you could say Paisley took over from the great work Shankly did, whereas Ferguson has
built the house himself. Yeah.
Took over from what Ron Atkinson did. Very different.
Yeah. Big Ron. And another thing that Ferguson will be remembered for is that whoever came up against him in the Premier League, he would always be the winner in the end. We've had Wenger, we've had Mourinho, and obviously Mancini all won a few battles against him, but Ferguson would always win the war.
But Ferguson bowing out at Old Trafford, Mancini gets sacked. It's almost like they're linked.
Mancini's had 4 days to enjoy that news.
Yeah.
I can't wait for the next thing. What do you mean I'm sacked? God's sake. What, am I getting the...
The way he sort of says, will everyone stop talking about my successor, my club should have denied this. I was thinking, nobody's talking about your successor. Everyone's talking about Alex Ferguson. Nobody's talking about your replacement. You are getting sacked.
Yeah. He also said, if they're getting someone else in there, I must be stupid.
But Mancini was one of those few who managed to wrestle the title away from Ferguson, but he always got it back. Mourinho had him going for a season or two, and Wenger did as well. But
there was always a sort of grudging respect between Ferguson and Mourinho, though.
Oh, a lot of respect, actually. Certainly from Mourinho's point of view. I mean, he always calls him the boss or something like that.
Yeah, he started off making a bit of a splash, and after that, he became quite deferential.
He knew.
Yeah.
I mean, Manchester City, with all their millions, put a superb team together, and they won the league. But Ferguson would have never left with City as the best team in Manchester, let alone the land. So he made sure that they won it back at the first time of asking, and bowed out with 49 trophies, including 13 Premier League titles.
And also, it's worth pointing out, his stated aim was to knock Liverpool off their perch, and that he did.
Which seemed impossible.
I mean, what a claim!
I know. Just concentrate on, I think I'm going to do as best we can, maybe we can nick a league title. No, he had the big boys in his sights. And
I also like that. There's a great interview that the BBC put up on their website around the week, I think, that he was appointed United manager. And he ends the interview by saying something like, if we all work hard, we'll be all right. And it's like, it's so prescient, because what he went on to achieve is astounding.
He knew back then.
One of the few interviews they could actually show. Found one
when he was talking to the BBC, that one.
But I mean, Sir Alex Ferguson was, well, and still is really, Manchester United, for his 26, 27 years there. He made them into the biggest club in the world, which is unbelievable. I mean, people forget that they were not this big club. They've always been a big club.
Yeah, they had their sort of glory days in the past, but they weren't the global phenomenon they are now. Right. They're an institution.
Well, exactly. And they were the biggest club in the world. An argument could be made that Real Madrid and Barcelona perhaps taken them over, but at the end of the 90s they were.
To put it into perspective, to be a professional manager and manage over 2,000 games at any level is mad. For him to do such a big percentage of those at United at the very, very top level is so impressive. Mm. It's unbelievable.
We may never see the like again.
No.
Yeah, absolutely. And like I said, he was very much from yesteryear with regards to his attitude and kind of his aura, but his tactical awareness and footballing mind was of all eras, which ensured he was successful in every generation that he competed in. Just remarkable. Certainly one of, and for many, the greatest manager of all time. Sir Alex Ferguson into the Dreamwood Hall of Fame. Well, there you are, ladies and gentlemen. That is the end of the Football Ramble for this week. If you want to get in touch, the email address is show@thefootballramble.com. The website is thefootballramble.com. The Twitter is @footballramble. And the Facebook is facebook.com/footballramble.
Facebook.com/footballramble. You missed out the .com, but that's all right. I know, we all know that you think Facebook is like the bastard child around. We don't like it that much.
Say goodbye, Jim.
I'm going to do a plug first, actually. I am doing a preview of my new show, Stupid Animals, at the Birdcage in Norwich on Monday, 20th of May. So if you live in Norwich, come to that.
Are you starting the Linton Travel Tavern?
if I can raise the bucks.
Yeah.
Oh.
Lovely old job.
Saving
Pete,
my beats.
Pete, any plug for you?
No, I'm going to be doing my own little one-man show down at Skip outside Asda.
Don't go to that.
No, I've seen this show.
It's brilliant.
It's worth seeing.
I'm showing my collection of jigsaws at Alton in Hampshire on the 13th
so
of June.
Norwich, Alton and Filey. They're the three places you need to be.
Yeah.
Ball Street.
You and Wright, you up to anything?
No, not the, I don't think we are this week.
Tell us about your pal, Ian Wright.
No.
You know, the guy who used to play up front for Arsenal in England.
Did he?
Yeah.
I thought I recognised him from somewhere. Yeah. Say goodbye, Pete.
Goodbye, Pete.
Say goodbye, Luke.
Goodbye.
And it's goodbye from me. Okay.
I don't get a goodbye, apparently.
Okay. You got a plug.
Norwich.
Got terrible hair.
Look at your hair.
What's wrong with it?
It's like thatching.
Yeah. What's wrong with
it's
it?
Like Thatcher.
What's wrong with this volume?
I like that.
Tell you, they get one of those shampoo adverts for volume.
You look like the fucking dog out of Spaceballs.
I only wash it in water.
You only that's wash it in water. That's horrific. That's your trick.
Yeah.
That's not a trick.
Shampoo.
Not using shampoo is not a trick.
You do realise that that's why it looks like that.
I mean, it looks worse with shampoo in it.
Ugh. I'm going to vom.
I told them, they said she's all right with it.
It must be a bit smelly.
It must be smelly. It washes itself, you mug.
It washes itself.
You melt.
It's the sort of thing people who smoke loads of weed
that's
say.
The sort of thing people with dreadlocks say.
Yeah.
And that's the way you're going, mate.
If you want to smell it, don't smell bad.
I believe you.
Nobody's smelling your hair, Luke. It's disgusting.
Anyway, hands up if you liked my hair.
That was a funny noise.
Hey, it's Danny Pellegrino from Everything Iconic. Ready to upgrade your style game without blowing your budget? Check out Quince. They've got all the good stuff, shirts and polos, activewear and fine leather goods, all at 50 to 80% less than other high-end brands. And the best part? They're all about safe, ethical, and responsible manufacturing. Get that luxury vibe without the luxury price tag. Hit up quince.com/upgrade for free shipping and 365-day returns on your next order. That's quince.com/upgrade.